Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Campus Tailgate, WGNRadio.com. Dave Ennett, joined by Mike Jacobson. Every week, we take a look around the Big Ten and some of the big games in college football. And we start this week in Madison, Wisconsin. Two top 10 teams, in fact, two top 8 teams. The 8th-ranked Wisconsin Badgers coming off a bye week, hosting the 2nd-ranked and undefeated Ohio State Buckeyes. And we're joined by BTN analyst Stanley Jackson. Stanley, let's look at Ohio State and Wisconsin, which should be a terrific matchup.
Well, I think this will either catapult one team potentially into, you know, pole position for the playoff, and it can end the dream of another, right? So Wisconsin, after that tough loss to Michigan, still has a unique opportunity to stay in a fight if they can beat Ohio State. But for Ohio State, beating another top 10 team would be significant, put them in pole position. Their last tough game could be Michigan in November, maybe Nebraska as well. So it's a great matchup. The only thing about having so many teams in a top 10 this early in the year is that they still have to play each other. So It's unfortunate if you love Big Ten football. Somebody has to lose this game, but I think it's going to be an epic matchup.
I think so, too. The Buckeyes haven't really been tested. Not that they couldn't have been. It's just no one's really been able to do it. You would have thought going into Oklahoma, a night game there, that was going to be a tough game for them. They won pretty handily, 88-17. They've outscored their two Big Ten opponents. Is this the week, facing a Wisconsin team coming off a bye, that maybe Ohio State finally gets that test that, quite frankly, they probably need at some point?
Yeah, I think it is for a number of reasons. One, because Wisconsin is a really good football team, and it might have the best defense in the country, so they're going to challenge Ohio State for the first time. The challenge for Wisconsin is simply this. They have yet to play a complete offense, a team that can run and throw. If you think about Michigan, they're great throwing the football, but they're still struggling against the good defense running it. And then LSU couldn't throw it at all. So this would be the first test that Wisconsin gets where they have to stop both the run and pass. But I think they will challenge Ohio State. And it's all about JT Barrett for the Buckeyes. If he can complete 60% of his passes, the way they run the football, those dominant wide receivers, it'll be a long day for the Badgers defensively. So I'm really expecting that the Badgers defense will come out and try to take away the passing game of JT Barrett.
Now, Stanley, you're an Ohio State guy, so you follow the team very, very closely. You already mentioned the offense. I mean, they've put up 77 points, 48 points, 45 points. I mean, they haven't put up anything less than 38 throughout the entire season. What is the one weakness on this team? Is there any?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that you can look at. Number one, last week was the first time they had any explosive plays in the kick game. So that was good to see. But their inexperience is still an issue. I mean, they've only been on the road once, and that was to go out to Norman. I mean, it's still a very young football team, and this environment in Madison is going to be off the chain. And so watching how the guys respond to that would be interesting. And then they haven't played a clean game yet. There's always been a few areas where there's been an issue, whether it's, you know, clock management a few weeks ago, whether it was penalties for young guys, or the fact that, you know, JT Barrett was under 50%. So they've yet to play, in my opinion, a clean game, and that's what makes them scary, because even with all the issues they have, they've still been able to put up a ton of points, and the defense has really been lights out. I mean, you really have to nitpick to find the areas, but there are some areas where this team could still grow and improve.
Now, Stanley, you had mentioned, you know, what a raucous atmosphere it's going to be in Madison. I actually worked in Madison, covered the team for a while. We all know about the crazy third quarter celebration that the fans do with jump around and whatnot. During your playing days, what venue was the toughest for you to go into as an opposing quarterback?
There was no question. It wasn't even close. It was Wisconsin. I mean, and that's a tough call, because Happy Valley can get pretty tough, especially at night with the whiteout. You know, obviously, Michigan. But the atmosphere in Wisconsin, 1993, we're an undefeated football team. You know, we had Raymond Harris, Bob Hoying, Joey Galloway, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson. You know, they had Fletcher and Moss running the ball, and we went in there, and it was unbelievable. Now, they've eliminated some of the issues or some of the things that the fans used to throw, like, you know, putting pennies and marshmallows and pelting you when you run out of tunnel. They don't do that anymore. But the fans are so close to the stadium. They've had so close to the field. They've had so much success over the years. I mean, it is a very difficult environment to play in. And Ohio State has had a lot of trouble going to Madison, going back even to Terrell Pryor's days.
Yeah, no question. I remember that night game there when they went up there. And I've always felt, broadcasting in the Big Ten, that as going on the road, that that's an environment, if you like college football, there's really very few places that compare to it. So I agree. It's going to be a great atmosphere. I think it's going to be a great game. All right, you alluded to this briefly, but what would Wisconsin, aside from obviously slowing down Barrett, slowing down Ohio State's running game, avoiding any kind of big mistake against that defense, what does Wisconsin have to do to be in this game and give themselves a chance to win?
Well, you know, sometimes the best defense is your offense on the field, right? Because if your defense isn't out there, then you're not worried about giving points up. So the offense is going to have more production. I mean, they're going to have to be better. They really struggled against Michigan, and that was an issue. Alex Hornibrook didn't look as good as he did against Michigan State. He was phenomenal in situational football. You know, he was over 50% on third down. He was 100% on fourth down. They scored 3 touchdowns in the red area. And then you look at the Michigan game, he threw 3 interceptions. He wasn't very productive. His completion percentage was way down. And what that does, it allows the defense to load the box and stop Corey Clement in the run game. So offensively, they've got to be better. And Alex has to play better. He's got to make plays on money down. They've got to move the chains and keep that Ohio State high-powered offense on the sideline, because that's really one of the only things to do to help out your defense. Other than that, if he doesn't play good, then the defense is just going to have to be lights out the way it were against Michigan. The problem is that Ohio State has more balance, and you kind of have to pick your poison. If you take away the run game, then they've got a lot of receivers that can go vertically and pose a challenge for your secondary. If you decide to play your safeties back and let this team run the football, then that's a whole other problem within itself. So Wisconsin, as good as they are, they have their hands full. Alex Hornibrook has to play well for them to have a chance.
Moving away from this game, what team, and it might be Wisconsin, what team has been the most surprising to you this year in the Big Ten, either positively or negatively?
Well, I'll give you 2. How about that? So on the negative side is Michigan State. I'm just shocked at the way they've fallen apart here, losing that game to BYU, the fact that they cannot move the football effectively on offense. Their defense has been okay, but that lunch pail mentality seems to evaporate a little bit for that football team. The first time they've lost 3 consecutive games since D'Antonio's first year, and normally he's a guy that's able to figure it out and pull the right lever or push the right buttons to get them going. He hasn't done it yet, so I am shocked about that. I guess honorable mention there would be Iowa, but they seem to figure out their defense. Then on the other side, I'm surprised in Nebraska. I wasn't sure the black shirts were ready to go, and I wasn't convinced that Mike Riley was the right guy for the job with that offense with this quarterback. But he's figured out how to get Tommy Armstrong, how to protect the football. He's only got 1 or 2 interceptions on the season, and that is a key for them. That's why they lost all those close games. And as long as Tommy plays well and that defense keeps getting after it, then they're a very competitive football team, and they're right now marching to win the West.
Does the Big Ten title, when it comes down to it overall, does it come down to that final regular season game, Ohio State, Michigan?
I think it does. Even if Ohio State were to lose this game, right, they still could win all their games in the East and then have a chance to beat maybe an undefeated Michigan team and get themselves in that Big Ten championship game. So it definitely won't come down to November. That'd be a great football game. And they still had Nebraska on the schedule, so Ohio State has to play well, but I'm expecting that to be a really good. The last time these teams were undefeated was in 2005. They were ranked 1 and 2, and the atmosphere in the Horseshoe was unbelievable.
Well, then you throw Harbaugh versus Urban Meyer in there, and that's just that's a way to finish up the season in Big Ten play, that's for sure.
Yeah, the mad scientist versus the overachiever, right?
That's
unbelievable what Jim Harbaugh is able to do. He constantly keeps this team in the headlines, and this week he's talking about peppers for Heisman. Which I think is smart. When people are talking about your program, it makes sense. But you got to back it up. Michigan has to figure out how to run the ball consistently against the good football teams. I mean, running against Rutgers is not a challenge. Everybody does that. They've got to figure out how to run it against the good teams, because that's going to be an Achilles heel against a team like Ohio State that can, again, run and pass and has a defense just as good as yours.
Should be a great second half of the season. Stanley, as always, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
Stanley Jackson from Big Ten Network. And, Mike, this really should be a great game. As we mentioned, Ohio State really not tested yet. They didn't play their best against Indiana last week. Still managed to win that game 38-17. JT Barrett a little bit off from the accuracy standpoint, but still they've got so much firepower on this team that even going against a team in a tough environment this week, under the lights, you got to figure they've been through this so many times.
They have, but at the same time, with what Stanley was just saying, too, they do have a little bit of an inexperience in their kicking game. So they do have some weaknesses. It's up to the Badgers to be able to exploit those weaknesses. And being there at Camp Randall with the crowd behind them, potentially this game could come down to, if they're able to somehow get some points on the board and corral, you know, again, they have Ohio State has not scored less than 38 points this year. If they can keep them down to 20, 21 points, and then to me, a huge factor in this game is going to be special teams. If they could cause a turnover on special teams, whether it be a blocked kick or a blocked punt or even have a special teams touchdown, the Badgers could pull this off, and I can't wait. It's by far the best matchup of the weekend.
They're really the only team to hang with Michigan this year, even though that is their only loss, and I don't think too many people expected their win over LSU at Lambeau Field. They got to be able to run the football against Ohio State. And last week, the Buckeyes, I mentioned this, they didn't play great. They still beat Indiana 38-17. Indiana is an improved team. They're an improved team defensively. Now, Nebraska, as Stanley mentioned, undefeated. Cornhuskers going into Bloomington this weekend to take on Indiana. This is a danger game for Nebraska. They're ranked 10th. I don't think people saw them getting that high into the rankings at this point of the season. They are undefeated. They have control of their destiny in the Big Ten West. And I think this is a dangerous game for them. Indiana, even though they lost to Ohio State two games ago, they defeated Michigan State in Bloomington. They've got that one nagging loss to Wake Forest that still has marred their schedule a little bit. But wouldn't surprise me at all if Indiana is able to hang in there against Nebraska and maybe upset the Cornhuskers this week.
The offense has been there for the Hoosiers. They're a very exciting offensive team, and we're actually seeing the fruits of that labor with Jordan Howard, if you're a Bears fan here, and how well he's done stepping in. Mm-hmm. But it's always been their defense. Like you said, it's slowly improving. Nebraska, I think, is overachieving. That could be a perfect storm where the Hoosiers could come out with a W here in Bloomington. So that's another game to keep an eye on, no question about it.
All right, Iowa, which may have found its sea legs last week with a win over Minnesota. They've played.
And they need that.
Well, their two Big Ten wins have been low-scoring games.
Mm-hmm.
The one game they lost was a higher-scoring affair against Northwestern. But the Hawkeyes playing at Purdue, and the Boilermakers may be looking at this game a little differently than they would have 2 weeks ago, coming off a big win for them against Illinois in overtime.
It is what it is, but that was a big win for them, and you know, looking forward to this week, if they could keep building on that, that would be huge. But I don't really think Purdue pulls this one out, do you? I don't know. That's just me, though.
No, I think Iowa now has at least they go into this game. They've been pretty good in games like this, like last week when they went to Minnesota. Minnesota 0-2 of the Big Ten. I think they're very disappointed to be 0-2. I don't think people saw that coming, especially after the Gophers started 3-0. But they let that one get away for them at Penn State, losing in overtime. And then the late touchdown by Wadley last week for Iowa carried the Hawkeyes to win there. This week, Minnesota playing on the road at Maryland, and Maryland also, I think, a little disappointed after a great start for them, but now they have to try to figure things out against the Golden Gophers.
I think Maryland could actually pull this one out. The fact that they're going to be, that the Gophers are coming into them, and that's one thing, too, and you travel with the team, obviously, and has it been difficult going from, you know, now that all these Big Ten teams are having to travel so far out east with Rutgers, with Maryland. Has it affected these players? Because they're not used to these kind of travels. And then if you normally stay in the Midwest, but now they're going far.
Well, I suppose you can make that argument. But if you ask Michigan, it didn't seem to bother them going to Piscataway last week.
That's true.
78-0. Or Ohio State the week before, 58-0. I think those are excuses when a team doesn't perform well. And look, these teams all travel some in non-conference play. They look for games that maybe are out of their normal comfort zone. Some of them do anyway. Some of them stay home. But that's, I think, a really big game for both those teams. Now, Illinois, coming off the loss to Purdue, going to Rutgers. And Rutgers, again, with those losses, 58-0 and 78-0, it's hard to envision them coming up with a way to stop Illinois in this one. Even last week, even though they lost the game, Illinois still able to move the ball, although they have a quarterback question with the injury last week to Wes Lunt. They had to go to Crouch at quarterback, and this will be, I think, an interesting game, to say the least, for Illinois.
And Lunt has been the one comfort blanket for Lovie Smith as he's taken over this program, the senior quarterback. And, you know, there's a lot of weaknesses, but that was the one guy he could kind of depend on. He loses him last week, and they've got four straight losses after that opening blowout against Murray State. They need something to get them in the positive direction here, something that to move them, spring them forward as Lovie tries to put it in the right direction. So here's their opportunity.
Well, it had best come this week because Next week they go to Michigan.
I was just going to say that. Look at the schedule ahead after that.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. They'll play Michigan. They'll play at Wisconsin. They do get Iowa at home, and they end the season at Northwestern, the traditional battle for the Land of Lincoln Trophy. And speaking of Northwestern, the game we'll have for you on WGN Radio, the Wildcats at Michigan State. And Stanley mentioned it, Michigan State, a real puzzle right now. The Spartans, a team that has been so dominant, the defending Big Ten champs, on a three-game losing streak, and they have not looked good. It started with that loss to the Wisconsin Badgers. It continued with the loss at Indiana. And then you figure they would get something of a breather against BYU, and they weren't really giving themselves a chance to win that game. Ended up losing 31-14. This is homecoming for them against Northwestern, but I think both these teams are coming at it sort of from the same direction. Northwestern maybe with a little more momentum coming off a win and a bye, going in there against a Michigan State team that has thrown their quarterback job open this week with three guys vying for the quarterback job. Tyler O'Connor has been just okay for them, but obviously not good enough to suit Mark D'Antonio. So this is a critical game for Michigan State. I think Northwestern's got a great chance to go in there and beat the Spartans. You realize Michigan State, as dominant as they've been the last few years, last in the Big Ten in quarterback sacks, only five sacks. They haven't been able to generate a pass rush. They have been vulnerable to the running attacks of their last three opponents in particular. So they need to get it figured out in a hurry.
You just mentioned that because I was just about to say that as well. They've been letting up yards on the ground too. We saw what Jackson did last week, or I should say not last week, 2 weeks ago, and the big game that he had against Iowa. This, to me, you get him started early and often, that's going to open up to play action. There is no doubt in my mind. Now, the homecoming thing makes me a little nervous with Michigan State, so it's going to be really raucous, or, you know, really crazy there. But there's no question in my mind they established that run early. I think we can get a Cats win here, build off the momentum from that Iowa win.
I should point out this is the second of three consecutive homecoming games for the Wildcats. They won at Iowa. Spoil the Hawkeyes' homecoming. They've got Michigan State's homecoming. Then they've got their own next week against Indiana.
Go Cats.
Bye weeks this week for Michigan and for Penn State. That'll do it for this edition of the Campus Tailgate. Thank you for joining us. For Mike Jacobson, I'm Dave Edit. We'll talk to you next week. WGNRadio.com.